tweet us on @ThisIsLSR.
Hello, welcome to The Tech Show. I'm Eddie Cummings.
I'm Dan Finley.
I'm Andrew Dudson.
And I'm Alex Hall.
And yeah, so there's been a bit of a break. I've been away for a couple of weeks. I was in Spain, sunning myself in Valencia. Yeah. And I had an interview last week, so
good.
Apologies for my absence, fellas.
That's absolutely fine. It's good to have you back.
How'd it go, Eddie?
Yeah, no, it was good. The interview was fine, just normal boring stuff. And Valencia was amazing, had a great time. Just sunshine, cheap beers, beach, you know how it is.
You were there listening to us, I'm sure.
Of course, yeah.
I'm sure you were listening.
Of course, I was tuned into that show while I was sunbathing. But yeah, and so this week we're going to be starting off with a news bulletin. We'll get on some tunes and then we'll have a discussion of the news, followed by the big conversation. And yeah, so if we want to start off with the news. Dan, if you want to get us going.
For sure, yeah. I've got a bit of futurology news for you. You've got Google bringing out another piece of software because they're just doing everything they can at the moment to, as you said, Alex, rule the world. Google Caption is something that they basically developed. Google can now basically put a caption to any photo or /simple photo that you provide. I'll go into details of that later, but it doesn't really work very well, so it's quite funny.
Oh, that's beautiful. I'm getting on that soon to get.
We've got the US Army and Security Services playing about with drones. We've got some liver tissue which can be 3D printed for clinical testing. We've got some more 3D printed things with rocket parts. NASA have developed 3D printed rocket parts.
Are they testing that at the moment?
Which have been shown to withstand the pressures and heat needed for a rocket launch. Anyway, very, very cool. A cool medical app, which I'll be talking about called HealthTap. Some robot guards, which Alex briefly mentioned coming into this show about 5 minutes ago.
It was hilarious.
RoboCop is in Silicon Valley. But that's all for my futurology section. Got some other bits and bobs, I believe. There's been some...
Andrew, you got anything?
Amnesty International has released a new tool called Detect, which scans for government-level malware on your PC, so it's basically an enhanced malware scanner. Also, e-cigarettes can give you malware, apparently. Computer-chargeable e-cigarettes.
As in give your computer's malware, give the actual body malware.
I'm hoping the computer. I'm thinking
okay,
the computer.
Okay, cool. Yeah. How's that happen?
Well, because I didn't even realise that computer-chargeable e-cigarettes were a thing to begin with.
Of course.
With.
Like, have you never seen people with their laptops with those giant USB sticks and you realise they're just fags?
Absolutely.
Apparently they can have, like, apparently if you, there are some, quote, untrustworthy suppliers who like hard code some malware into the cigarette and into like the charger itself in some cases where it can give you malware, which is bad.
Weird.
And Alex, didn't you have a couple of film announcement that's coming up?
Oh yes, Star Wars Episode 7 theatrical trailer is being released in 10 specific cities across the US in cinemas across those cities in the US on Friday. Then it's not being put on the internet at that time, but it's gonna be playing in the cinemas all day for about 2 days. You can guarantee someone's going to leak it onto the internet. So on Friday, look out for the theatrical trailer of the new Star Wars film, which I am very excited for.
And that's a completely new cast, right?
Mm-hmm. Completely new cast. Well, it also has some of the original cast.
Some of the originals.
Well. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford.
Mark Hamill's been in nothing since Star Wars, has he? I mean, apparently he just sort of tours Comic-Con conventions, just making money from that.
Sure.
I'm sure he does.
Oh, that's what I heard. He hated Star Wars, and then all of a sudden when Star Wars Episode 7 came out, he was like, yay, Star Wars again.
But what's annoyed me is I think George Lucas said that he was disappointed with the first, second, and third one that came out after he did the original three, and then he's gone and sold on the rights to this new one, right? Because he's not directing, is he?
No, he's not. It's J.J. Abrams, the guy who is making the Star Trek reboot films.
Okay, cool. Also, I know this is the tech show, but just another brief film thing is that Jurassic Park, there's a new trailer for that coming out on Friday, which has the same guy who's in Guardians of the Galaxy.
Chris Pratt.
That looks really cool.
Big fan of Chris Pratt, actually.
And what else did I see? Michael. Oh, yes, actually, that is tech news regarding films. Sorry. A new Steve Jobs film that's been written by Aaron Sorkin, famous writer who's written a bunch of films, just been bought by Sony for $30 million, the script, and they've got Michael Fassbender signed up, who possibly might play Steve Jobs.
That's cool.
And it's based on the script has been based on the highly regarded biography of Steve Jobs. and that's just been announced today on TechCrunch. I was reading that this morning, so that should be interesting.
Yeah, that should be really good.
We'll see how that develops. They've got a really good producer in who's really well known for producing the Narnia films. Not that I've seen them, but apparently this guy's pretty. He won some Grammys and some sort of Oscar a while back.
Awesome.
So in other news, Uber, I'm not sure if you guys have heard, but Uber have just finished the worst public relations week in their history.
They've been in the news
shockingly
a lot.
They've been in the news a lot.
Uber.
Firstly, because their vice president said at a dinner party to a BuzzFeed editor that he was going to hire a private detective to try and dig up dirt on a female journalist who'd been slagging off Uber. And he said he'd pay up to $1 million to try and dig up dirt on this female journalist. And it's just another case of Uber being careless in, you know, being sort of letting things slip. And also, there has been a reported kind of boys club corporate culture in Uber whereby there's some sexist behaviour going on. They're playing dirty tactics against other companies such as Lyft, which is a similar Uber service in America. And also, they've recently been lobbying against taxis in America that are being brought in for disabled people. So Uber, because they realise that it's going to be a threat to their drivers because it will drive prices up, are trying to lobby against the increase of these disabled taxis, which is just seems absolutely outrageous, to be honest.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll be touching a little bit more on that in our big conversation later, which is going to be about peer-to-peer services such as Airbnb, Uber, things like that. Any more news that you guys had?
Well, apart from me, again, a little bit of just nerdy news in general, gamers, lock up your wallets because the Steam sale is coming tomorrow. The Steam Autumn sale is coming tomorrow. In case any of you don't know, Steam is basically the main game retail service on PC. And they always have these massive, ridiculous sales in which you can get, like, AAA titles over the past 4 years for, like, a fiver
or
less.
Yeah, obscene. It's obscene. Steam. No, it's obscene.
I thought you were making fun of my pronunciation. But, yeah, it is ridiculous. So, if you want any of your student loan left, if you're planning on having any of your student loan left after the by the end of the Christmas term, no.
Yeah, I'm gonna have happening.
To. It's just not happening. It's too much.
Also, vaguely student-related news. Tinder, former Tinder employees that were offended by their kind of sexist corporate culture as well, have just launched a new app called Bumble, which is essentially exactly the same as Tinder. Mm-hmm. So that's something to check out. Something cool if you're looking to find some love.
Ooh.
And otherwise, yeah, I mean, that just about wraps it up for the news. This is the tech show. Remember to tweet us, guys, on This Is LSR. And also get involved on the chat box on lsrfm.com. Just send us a message, let us know what you think. Otherwise, I think we're going to listen to a bit of music now. We've got some Sam Smith.
Yep, big old Sam Smith.
And this is a song called Like I Can.
He did really well at the AMAs, if anyone's watching that.
Did he? I saw it was on Snapchat, actually.
Yeah, no, he's a good guy. Anyway, here's Like I Can, Sam Smith.
He could be a sinner, arch gentleman. He could be a preacher when your soul is down. He could be a lawyer on a witness stand. But I'll never love you like I can. He could be a stranger you gave a second glance. He could be a trophy of a one-night stand. He could have your humor, but I don't understand. 'Cause I'll never love you like I can. Encounter of circumstance. Maybe he's a mantra. Keep your mind entranced. He could be the silence in this mayhem. But then again, he'll never love you like I can. I love your demons like devils can. If you're self-seeking, an honest man, you stop deceiving, Lord, please.
Over 100 hours of entertainment every week
on Leeds Student Radio.
Yo, welcome back to the Tech Show. I'm Eddie, I'm here with Dan, Andrew and Alex. And, oh, this is an absolute
tune. I love this.
We're going to be getting now back to some discussion on the news. So let's hear that up. If you were listening earlier, we were just chatting about general things that have been going on this week. One little correction I have to make about the announcement of the Steve Jobs film, the script that's just been bought by Andy Sorkin for $30 million by Universal Pictures. I said it was Sony, but they bought it from Sony for over $30 million. And that's to be starring Michael Fassbender and directed by Danny Boyle, which is exciting. He did Slumdog Millionaire, Trainspotting, other films like that. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so he that would be really cool. Brilliant. Something to keep an eye on for you tech and just film buffs in general.
I don't know much about Steve Jobs, but he seemed like a really weird guy. I discussed him with people who have read his autobiography, and he sounded like he had some really weird kind of, you know, life stories. But
absolutely. Anyway. I mean, no, it's a very interesting thing to discuss, just because he did acid when he was younger, I think, and he was, you know, he dropped out of Stanford. He, you know, there's several things that he's not kind of your typical.
Yeah, I think he travelled to India as well and did loads of sort of weird sort of eating, you know, weird diets.
I think he sort of hails that as one of his most inspirational years, that trip to India. And it's so mad because he is, as Andy Sorkin said, it was like writing a script about the Beatles.
Yeah,
he's sort of the hero of our age, right?
Yeah.
And fascinating also that he was fired from Apple after creating the company, and then he made a company called Next, and that was, I mean, anyway, you can read the book, you can watch the film when it comes out. It's really interesting. And anyway, any other news discussion that you guys wanted to chat about?
So yeah, I wanted to go back to this Google Caption thing. Basically, Google has developed a machine learning system that can automatically produce captions to accurately describe images the first time it sees them. So, I mean, it sounds really cool. So, you know, you give it Google an image, and without having to caption it yourself, it will literally say, here are three dogs playing in a park with a frisbee.
No way. That's awesome.
But it's really funny because they kind of give examples of where it doesn't really work so well. So, like, there'll be a road sign with a few stickers on, and it'll be like, here is a fridge, like, stacked with loads of food. And, like, anyway, really, really funny. If you go and track down those pictures, it kind of works, kind of doesn't. I mean, it's interesting, obviously, because it's the whole thing about, you know, computers being able to have its own opinion and self-driving cars and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. If this combines with, you know, is there something that's going to come in the future that combines this computer thinking, this artificial intelligence kind of coming to
the forefront.
It's a
long way away if they can't even recognise.
No,
it's true, but you know, you never know.
You never know.
It's
anyway.
An interesting one. And then I guess that kind of discounts human judgment if they can start reading images and all that. Mm. There was an article I was reading this week about technological unemployment, which we discussed a couple of weeks back, and it just said that in Britain it was about... I think it's within 20 years they estimate that 30% of the current unskilled labour jobs will be controlled by technology, essentially.
Yeah.
And there'll be no need for human use, which is quite
scary,
right?
Scary thought.
Someone needs to be managing all this kind of technological development, I guess. There was another Google-based news piece that you wanted to mention, didn't you, Alex?
Oh, yes. I can just get the... sorry, Andrew, just borrow your iPad here. This is about a court case that was, a former Morgan Stanley banker called Daniel Heglin brought Google to court on a case of sort of malicious articles that Google managed to put a link that Google obviously provides links to because it's a search engine, and basically Mr. Heglin once Google to like sort of crack down on any sort of malicious articles and sort of like high level cyberbullying, like this isn't just, you know, trolling on the internet. This is like he was those allegations of Ms. Hegland being a murderer, KKK sympathizer, among other things that, you know.
Just... Well, it's an interesting one. It ties in with the whole European disappearing, you know, how people can apply to get their names completely removed from Google. Right to be forgotten, that's it. And it's an interesting one because obviously the internet is just an objective playing field for anyone to link to whatever content like, you want. Yeah, so you can't really control it. And then by Google removing the link that he has to that, it's sort of removing their objectivity because, you know, they're being a bit subjective and being like, okay, well, we'll remove that. But there's got to be thousands of articles that are sort of dobbing people in, saying they're something they're not. And if everyone starts complaining against Google, it's not Google's fault. It's the people who are doing the original linking.
Yeah, it's
on
like
the
it's not Google is just a provider, it's not a curator.
Well, exactly. It's like we mentioned, you know, it's like blaming a piece of paper saying that the internet's the problem for everyone spending so much time on their phones. Actually, it's the people behind the internet.
Correct.
Yeah. So, no, that's an interesting one, I must say. Always good to keep.
But it has worked. It has worked. Google have actually, like,
removed all their.
They are currently working to remove them. And, yeah, so basically he has won in that regard.
Mm-hmm. I suppose they do have a big responsibility, though, because the massive data that is processed by Google now, you know, has to be kind of mediated in some way. Mm. And if it's not by them, then who do they expect is going to do it?
Yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. I've got
this really cool medical app actually. It's called HealthTap, and I've always been really skeptical about technology behind, you know, giving medical advice. WebMD is absolutely notorious for, you know, convincing everyone that they have some form of cancer or, you know, brain tumor or whatever. Yeah. But HealthTap have basically released a new update, and it's called. Well, they have a section now called Top Doctor Insights. And it basically uses artificial intelligence to provide users with completely personalized health info. So if we both enter the same, like, kind of, you know, regular data, it will still take a collection of our past medical history and it will actually analyze to give two people who have entered the same data two different results. Mm-hmm. So it's much, much more accurate than WebMD or anything like that.
It takes in your previous health history.
Wikipedia is absolutely, you know, useless when looking at, you know,
Wikipedia.
I'm just saying, I'm sure there are some people out there. But anyway, there are, you know, this data is from, you know, previously HealthTap has just basically been a database of ailments and illnesses that it would kind of fit you into the best one. But this is actually data provided by more than 64,000 top doctors from all around the world. Mm-hmm. And it will bring together and collaborate the best response personalised for you. So if you're into that stuff, definitely check out HealthTap.
Well, definitely. I mean, it does appeal to everyone as well. And I think it would be really cool if we had a go-to place to go for these kind of things rather than, as you mentioned, just typing into Google, I've got a giant boil on my face, what do I have? And then coming up with a million results of... Yeah. I'm going to die tomorrow, essentially.
Worsening diseases every time. Oh my god, I have leprosy.
Exactly.
I don't have leprosy. Exactly. You have a cough.
So it's always good to be. Also, regarding that, I was reading about some of the biggest predictions in 2014 of technologies that would kind of dominate the home and, you know, change businesses or disrupt. And one of them was sort of virtual doctors, so people being on Skype and being able to Skype you rather than going down to the doctors. They actually called e-visits. And which is quite cool. It hasn't necessarily kicked off so much this year. I think it will in the near future, but it will just save a lot of time and money for people going down, and also then doctors will have time to deal with actual problems that they need to address as opposed to someone with a slight cough. But again, if there's things like this HealthTap coming out, then that again will save time and money, and we can concentrate that on places where it actually needs to go, which I think is always fantastic.
I think it's a huge market that's emerging, obviously, with this technological explosion as well, is this, and the reason why I'm skeptical is obviously because I think that there's been a lot of kind of mistrust in the sources from the internet, but something like this which does give the structure and the framework for,
and this one is of course, like you said, made by actual doctors. It's not completely made up by AI. It's actually, it's got people behind it, working behind it.
I heard about another thing, actually. I can't remember the name of it, but it was a prototype set up in the middle of the city where people could go in and it's basically a small pod and pay something like £5 for an hour. and you literally get a one-on-one texting service with a therapist or something like that. You know, it's just kind of little experiments like this to see if people are interested or not. I think are really, really interesting.
That is very cool. Mm-hmm. I know there's a lot of companies, especially there's something called Fancy.com, which is basically like a sort of trendy eBay or ASOS, and there's a live customer service section. I know that happens on a lot of websites where you can actually talk to someone who's there if you have a problem, as opposed to send an email and make a lengthy phone call. And again, that could apply for more medical services. If you could just go on an app and live chat to someone, would be really helpful.
The thing is,
you've always got to be sceptical with these. How are they monetizing the app? Do you know?
I'm not too sure. I don't know if it costs anything at the moment.
I just think it's always worthy being aware of who is behind the whole process. If there's a particularly big sort of pharmaceutical corporation involved, if they're pushing some particular drug, those kind of things, just be aware before you download the app, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Rather than signing your life away to, oh, you've got to take all this, this stuff.
There's bound to be a premium version or, like, you know, something like that.
Yeah, for sure.
Some little catch where they're trying to get some money, but I don't know who's driving it. So,
speaking of monetizing, briefly, I'll just say I've been seeing a lot of things have popped up on my Snapchat recently with these sort of adverts and events.
Yeah,
that are happening.
A new advertising campaign.
And just as you mentioned last night, what was that music award last night, Dan?
The American Music Awards.
American Music Awards this week, and there was just a constant Snapchat video ream of that. And every day now, there's another event, an NFL football match or something like that. Mm-hmm. And I think in America, they've now rolled out the adverts, the sort of opt-in adverts where you click on them and it's just, you know, a little advert of a chocolate bar or something like that. But it's interesting how a lot of people find the whole Snapchat phenomenon quite fascinating because they've been valued at so much, but where is that money? There's no actual physical money. How are they paying their staff? Through investment, right? But they can't just survive off that investment, and their valuation can't come from purely investment. It must be based on the fact that everyone has it downloaded on their phone, but there's no physical money. I think a lot of people have been asking me about that recently, which is just quite a crazy concept.
The value is the people. It's like Snapchat is selling its customers to advertising companies.
Well, absolutely, which is kind of strange, don't you think? Because that's never how businesses worked before.
It's much more about the data that people are sending, you know, that is valued, as opposed to, like, actual physical money that is being involved.
It's the same as, like, it's the same concept with sort of, like, with YouTube as well. Like, YouTube content creators have, like, being able to put advertisements on their videos is basically the same idea that you're selling the they're selling their audience,
yeah, for sure,
their massive audience, their millions and millions of subscribers to advertising companies in order to have their
It's just fascinating because business, you know, traditional business has always measured itself on the profits of other businesses, whereas Snapchat won't have, well, maybe this year now it's doing the monetizing thing, it's going to have profits soaring through the roof, but you can't actually just get a spreadsheet out and be like, right, look at Google's profits as opposed to Snapchat's profits. You can't compare them like that, which is just a really interesting business development with tech. Maybe it's something we could discuss another week in one of the big conversations.
For sure, for sure.
Any other business?
Sorry. I've got one last thing to bring up, and that is quite exciting. Robot guards that have been introduced in Silicon Valley.
You say it's exciting, and then you see what they look like, and then you realise...
Let me give a quick, because it is impressive.
It is impressive.
Until you hear what they look like. So, I mean, Silicon Valley, they are specifically in kind of Microsoft headquarters at the moment. These robot guards stand about 5 foot tall. They use laser scanners, they use cameras, microphones, odor sensors, GPS, to kind of just monitor the environment around them. So, I mean, it sounds really cool, and you kind of expect this big kind of, you know, figure to
RoboCop.
RoboCop with you know, his laser goggles and, like, it literally looks like an air freshener.
Imagine how the Daleks originally looked in the original Doctor Who series in 1968, and then even worse than that.
Take off all the cool bits of Daleks.
I'm impressing you the date of when Doctor Who started, actually. I don't think I know. 1968, that was quite mad.
Yeah.
Thank you. Well, I don't know
good
the
work.
Specific.
Good knowledge
date,
from
yeah,
you.
Big Doctor Who fan? Are you a big Doctor Who fan?
I liked it, but then I saw the new one
with the new Doctor. I don't know what his name is, and it was about a dinosaur roaming through the streets of Victorian London, which put me off.
Really? That's the only bit I watch.
Yeah.
No, it's a dinosaur in London.
It's one of those things that's just easy to watch, really, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Easy,
I imagine.
Introduction to science fiction.
I've been watching Fargo, the series, recently, which is an interesting one. I know it's a bit off point. Apologise.
It's fine. We'll come back to it.
It's got Martin Freeman. I'll try and tie this in with technology. It's got Martin Freeman in it, who was in
The Hobbit.
Nope. He was in
Returner's Guide.
No. Yes, that's it. Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Galaxy. Techie. Space. That guy landing a comet on the landing something on a comet.
Yeah. There you go.
Again, technology. Yeah. Also, I was thinking, this is another brief news point I want to discuss based on that comet landing. Do you think the cameras that they had on the probe were really old? You know what I mean? Like, if they put, because the technology when they sent the thing out 10 years ago must have been terrible. They probably have some tiny little rubbish flash camera.
Yeah.
And if they had, like, a wicked GoPro on it.
it may be discovered.
Also, how are they transmitting the images 10 billion miles back to us?
I don't think they are at the moment. I don't think they're trying to do anything.
I'm pretty sure they sent a picture back.
I'm just saying at the moment they're not because it's sort of only. It comes off and on, but yeah, it was a joke.
Okay, that's fine. Always room for terrible jokes on the tech show. It's an interesting one. I mean, the whole issue of the sexist shirt argument we won't get into because it's something
that's slightly infuriating and
depressing that people have even got angry about it, but we shouldn't touch
on
it. We will, in a related thing, I think we're going to be discussing feminism in tech in one of our upcoming shows.
That is going to be the last show that is...
Last show of the term,
9th of December, in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, 9th of December, Tuesday 9th. So yeah, tune in for that, everyone listening.
Amazing.
Definitely just got to just say, please tweet us at ThisIsLSR, hashtag the tech show, whatever. Just let us know your thoughts or get involved on the chat box on lsrfm.com. Let us know what you think, see if you're enjoying the show, blah, blah, blah. Any thoughts on the news? We're going to have a bit more music. What have we got, Dan?
We have Light Me Up by Flight.
Wicked, wicked. Get it on.
And I don't know, it says Light Me Up by Flight here, but it's by Flight. So I don't know whether the name is Light Me Up by Flight or...
By Flight.
By Flight.
I think it's just Light Me Up.
Light Me Up by Flight.
Escape from the primary classes, grown mustaches, lensless glasses with
Yo, welcome back to the Tech Show. This is Eddie Cummings, and yeah, we're going to be chatting now about the big discussion, which is, yes, which is about peer-to-peer services. So if any of you guys don't know what that is, like Airbnb, it's just a fancy name for like companies like Airbnb, Uber, TaskRabbit, and basically companies in which the middleman is completely cut out and they just operate by the users contacting one another and selling things, you know, even like eBay is a peer-to-peer service as well. But recently there's been a real increase in these type of services. And I'm not sure if any of you guys have used BlaBlaCar, another one which I used a lot last year when I was in Valencia and in continental Europe. It's very popular. It's basically a car sharing app in which you just contact the driver and he says, I've got three spare seats in my car, give me a fiver, I'll take you to Barcelona or wherever.
Wow. Oh,
right, and cool. It's really popular. I'm not sure why it hasn't taken off in Britain. It's something, I think it's something to do with the culture, as we're a bit more closed here and a bit more unfriendly.
I'm not trusting a stranger. And again, it's...
Well, exactly. So just wanted to really talk today a little bit about why these companies have suddenly become more popular, how important it is to get rid of that middleman, and any other kind of industries that you think might... we could maybe disrupt with a peer-to-peer service. An example I'd use is kind of estate agencies, I feel are probably quite irrelevant, and we could have a thing where, you know, the buying and selling of houses just happens between the people who live there. Anyone want to jump in and start off a little bit of a discussion about this?
Well, what happened with Uber this week? You were mentioning something a bit earlier about the chairman, Eddie, or someone's...
Yeah, so it was the senior vice president mentioned at a dinner party that he wanted to dig up information on one of the journalists that slagged him off, a female journalist, and he was going to pay $1 million to try and do that.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, Uber has such a monopoly over this kind of area of...
Yeah,
Business at the moment. Yeah. And I think it's good because Uber's been introduced in Leeds. Does anyone see that? Have you seen the Uber cabs running around?
Yeah, I've seen a few.
I have not seen them, but yeah, I know.
Have you not seen them? There is loads. I think that's why this debate is particularly topical today, just because it has come in this last week. And I was talking to one of the new Uber cab drivers in Leeds, and he told me that when Uber was announced, the day it was announced, 100 drivers apparently left Amber Cabs to join Uber straight away because they get such a better cut. They get like a 10% or 15% cut because they don't have to go through the middleman of the taxi rank that takes some of the money, do you know what I mean? So in that sense, it's really good. And with Uber's company culture being in question this week and, you know, their public relations faux pas, I think we need to sort of look at whether the fact that the few kind of techie people running it in Silicon Valley should affect how we treat the company here in Leeds or around in Britain, when the people actually using it, so the people working for the company, will have no interaction with those higher ups. There's no hierarchical structure to the business in that sense.
Yeah, there's the people who run the company and then the people who actually take part in the actual driving of the cabs.
They could just be us. Different. We could do that. Yeah. It's a really different business model,
completely
right?
Different.
And in that sense, I don't know if we should necessarily blame, you know, should we get in an Uber cab, basically, if their company culture is bad?
Do we boycott Uber it's the whole, like, do we boycott this entire company and put all these people's jobs, like you said, they've literally just moved jobs because they get a better cut, but then it's like, do we boycott it and then put their jobs on the line? Because
I mean, again, there is loads of competitors coming in. I'm sure you guys have heard of Lyft, which is the Uber equivalent, in which all the cabs have to put a pink mustache at the front. It's just in America at the moment, but I think they're moving over here pretty soon. The only thing is, firstly, Uber's really cheap, and the most important thing is, sadly, people don't care too much about company cultures. They're more interested in if they can get something cheaper than something else.
Yeah, exactly.
And Uber's, because it is quite powerful, they've encountered a lot of issues in particular states in America where they can't push through certain, you know, they can't push through the law of a lot of taxis have kind of lobbied against it and got it banned for a certain amount of months. But they've eventually pushed through because they're such an powerful company. I was reading something now that they've just pulled in.
I mean, you were talking about before about the whole peer-to-peer services sort of take over the sort of traditional way of doing businesses. And I think in every sector where it's being introduced, like you said, there's going to be a lot of backlash from traditional companies, like traditional taxi firms lobbying against this kind of thing. There's always going to be this kind of struggle here, and that's one of the main issues I can see with peer-to-peer services can be very difficult. Peer-to-peer services, because it's going to be very difficult.
It will definitely temporarily be difficult, yeah. And it is at the moment. You know, I think as Michael Bloomberg recently said in an interview for Tech City News, he said, you know, you can't stop the tides from coming in. The looms can destroy the Luddites, but eventually someone's just going to go and build more looms, which is a reference to the Industrial Revolution. Mm-hmm. And basically, you can't stop technological development.
Yeah, that's true.
In so much as you can't stop these peer-to-peer services coming in and company old, well-established businesses who don't really like what's happening, they can't do anything about it, and it's better to just accept it, especially when cabs in London cost an arm and a leg just to go from, yeah, you know, 10 metres down the road. So in that sense, they benefit everyone.
Yeah, I mean, comparatively, I mean, Uber as an app is very smooth. It's got a nice interface. But on the other hand, the Amber Cars app, I have never had really a problem with. You know, I can track my car, you know, and actually, Amber Cars, even though a few times they are completely useless and I'm very late. Sorry, Amber Cars, if you're listening.
yeah, they do sponsor one of our shows.
Yep, not this show, unfortunately. You know, it's actually kind of, as a physical app, they're very similar. But, you know, since the beginning of peer-to-peer kind of technologies, even since, you know, LimeWire or whatever, there's always that kind of fundamental risk of not knowing, without this kind of the big backing behind of this corporation, without, you know, there is this risk of the products you could be receiving.
Yep.
The quality,
and also the ethics behind it. Exactly. Who's giving it to you?
So, you know, putting it into a kind of the cab business, it's kind of essentially the same, because you're putting yourself in this, you know, in this car, and you want to be safe. You want, you know, and you want
like,
to.
Yeah, it is kind of like a massively amplifying the problem of unlicensed taxis.
Exactly.
Well, sure, but I mean, there are certain checks, especially with Uber, you have to go through a particular security process at the start. But I know that is completely a risk, especially with things like BlaBlaCar, where you don't know the driver at all. It's just a complete stranger.
Yeah.
Things that you've got to be aware of. But I think it's probably peer-to-peer services are something that we should embrace and move forward with, especially when they just get rid of these sort of old institutions that really aren't serving anyone. All they're doing is just taking a lot of money, and it's not really working. There is the issue of economic difficulties that would happen when, you know, the economic structure that we have at the moment of big companies have all the money and the sort of trickle-down effect, when the kind of this company, the peer-to-peer companies, and the power is in the hand of the user, then that economic structure will have to change, and obviously that kind of change will cause problems.
Yeah, I think it is. I think there's more. Yeah, it does. Because it kind of, I'm trying to link it in with what you were saying before about how there's a sort of this. There is a lot of shifts happening in the way businesses work. Mm-hmm. When we were talking about before about the sort of like creators selling their audiences to companies.
Yeah,
and it is sort of changing in the way that power is starting to come in the hands of the consumers, in
sense
that they are the people who are normally getting the money in terms of peer-to-peer services and providing the services themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, in terms of online creators and Snapchat
and like
whatever.
YouTubers or whatever.
And Snapchat, as we've recently been talking about.
Yep.
Excuse me. The creators and the innovators are becoming more powerful, and the traditional companies are looking at this saying, we want their money. How can we do that? Well, it's like it's putting us in charge a little bit, I think, and I quite like that.
Yeah, for sure. No, that is very true. But in another regard, there is always people at the top of these companies. And
yeah, I guess so.
There's, you know, a small group. I just mean with... So basically the whole reason this kind of argument about the peer-to-peer services and Uber came up was because, as Dan was just mentioned, Uber have committed various sort of public relations disasters this week, and they've they have these things called they did a blog post called Rides of Glory, which was basically sort of for the awkward morning after walk home if you end up sleeping with someone. Uber were offering Rides of Glory to be something, a term that they would use for people going back after a night of sex. There's another thing where they offered rides with extremely hot chicks. And basically, they've just committed all these kind of pretty awkward sort of sexist things, which essentially it just highlights the fact that these companies are run by a small group of kind of techie people who perhaps they don't really know what they're doing regarding PR. They just have all this money, millions and millions of pounds, and they've got all this power that they're just using recklessly.
Yeah. Which kind of the Wolf on Wall Street.
It's pretty worrying, to be honest. And again, as we were talking about the technological unemployment debate, with people who are losing their jobs, and there's becoming more of a kind of extremist thing where companies like WhatsApp, that's just been bought for $19 billion by Facebook, that is consists of 57 employees, right? So that's 57 people with all that cash, with all that valued cash. And it just creates this complete elitist system by which doesn't help out the mass population.
Yeah, it's like the top 5% at the top is now becoming like the top 1%.
Absolutely.
Less and less people are being used in these companies, mainly partially again because of technological unemployment, because half of the stuff is done by computers. You don't really need that many people to use.
Yeah, that's very true, and you can reach a wide audience with computers and things. So I think that's another risk of tech, that it is creating a more elitist.
The horrible thing is that obviously these huge companies based in Silicon Valley, wherever, have this illusion around them, surrounding them, that they are untouchable, literally untouchable. Yeah. And so they're like, well, why are people questioning what we're doing? You know, we are literally untouchable. But I think actually that's exactly why people should be questioning what they're doing. They need people to be like, actually, like, excuse me, like, what's going on? You can't do that. You can't say that. You know, you can't just act in a way that you think is, funny or whatever.
Well, because they have all this power, don't they, and influence, and they can reach such. Well, as you say, there was an article I was just reading this week from Niloufer Merchant in Time magazine, and it just says one truism I've learned in the last 20 years of being up close in the tech industry is that as Silicon Valley companies do, so does the rest of the industry. From key ideas to key leaders, what happens here in Silicon Valley spreads fast. They have so much power, right? And it's just something that we need to keep a track of. Anyway, I think we should wrap it up now for the big conversation. It was interesting to chat about. If anyone at home's got any thoughts on peer-to-peer services, any new ones that they think of cool, we didn't really touch upon TaskRabbit or things like that, but there's always loads of wicked new peer-to-peer services that are coming in. But now we're just going to whack on a song, a Gorgon City number featuring Laura Welsh called Here For You. We'll be right back.
over 100 hours of entertainment every week.
On Leeds Student Radio.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Tech Show. We've got the Tuesday News team in the studio with us, Mo and Shannon.
B team.
Sorry, I've been practicing that the whole time during that song. I knew I'd get it wrong. But yeah, sorry, we've got Mo and Shannon with us. Hi guys, how you doing?
Good, thanks. Good. How are you guys? Are you?
Yeah, not too bad.
Very
good. What have you guys got coming up on the show today?
What have we got today?
Today we have the one and only Sarah Calvert from Rag, the Rag Queen herself.
Queen of Rag.
And some people from the fashion show coming in to talk about the fashion show launch tonight.
Amazing.
Are you involved in that at all, Mo? Or are you...
Yes. Yes.
Tell us, Mo. Tell us how more. You're involved.
So, I went to the auditions and I walked down and lost all my dignity and now I'm one of the models. So, yeah.
Awesome.
It's worth going to the fashion show just for that.
Yeah, catch me in late February where I'll be making an utter fool of myself.
I'm sure you won't. Have you practiced your catwalk?
Oh, mate, all the time.
Oh, I've seen you pouting, actually. You keep pouting at me. It's pretty awful. It's all putting, dude.
Sorry.
He can't turn off his blue steel. It doesn't work.
You bring out the magnets.
Yeah, we need to get a magnet for February. Sorted. Oh, cool. God. Anything else coming up on the show?
We have also got Mitch from the Leeds East African Society. He'll be coming to promote an upcoming event that they've got coming on. I think it's on Wednesday, so stay tuned with Tuesday Beat to hear all about that.
Mm-hmm. Wicked.
Very good.
I should just mention we're doing a handover at the moment if you've just tuned in for the Tech Show, and we're handing over to the Tuesday Beat team. Is that, did I get that right? That
yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, yeah, so that's what's happening every show this week. I think there's a handover 10 minutes before to kind of interact with one another. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, I mean, me and Eddie go way back, so.
We do, yeah, we're both in Spanish together.
But for other people, it's all about making friends.
Exactly.
But it's funny, though, because you're always on a Tuesday after us, and we kind of just brush past each other.
No, I don't think I've ever met you guys properly before.
Yeah, I always
it's
try and say
nice.
Hello, and you guys kind of just blank us as the tech nerds.
Oh, no,
leave
no,
them.
No.
Have you guys listened to our show before then? What do you think?
Definitely.
Well, yeah, we're always usually hanging around beforehand, so
okay, sure.
We get to hear.
You know, as an inauguration of the tech show, because I don't think it was or has ever been done before, it's good. It's going good so far. I
appreciate
enjoy it.
Thank you.
I mean, apart
much.
From the fact that I messaged you on Facebook a picture of a toaster kettle, and that I don't think that's been mentioned yet.
What?
You just, didn't you?
What?
I know. I'm sorry. I was busy. But yeah, there was a toaster kettle.
A tettle.
It is literally one of the greatest things I saw, and I steered it towards thinking it would make the light of day, and it's just not.
It will. We've got a backlog to get through.
As in a toaster that also functions as a kettle.
It is so cool.
I want one.
I know.
Where did you find it?
How does everything stay in? I don't understand.
No,
yeah,
no.
And also, how do you boil water, like water and the electrics from the toaster?
Oh, no.
Yeah, I don't
can you
that's
use them
happen.
Both at the same time?
No, I think we need more information.
Did you open it?
I did not open the link, sadly.
Okay,
no,
so
I was very busy.
Okay, so
I didn't actually have time to click on the link.
Okay, so tech show first here. Basically, what it is it's a normal kettle, and then the base itself is a toaster. So, you know, you can boil your water, and then you just stick your toast into the base, heats it up, pops it out, you're done.
Nice.
Breakfast.
Still the combination of heating toast and the water.
Yeah, I wouldn't really try
to put
my hand in there.
Although I suppose kettles are electrical, aren't they?
So. Yeah.
By their very nature.
Yeah, well, we'll look into it. We'll research it, and it might appear on next week's show.
Please forward it on.
You can even buy it. Maybe you can contact the company.
Maybe
and
I should
get a
buy
promo.
It. Yeah, get a promo. We'll buy it. Bring it in, and we can all have toast and tea in the office.
Although the company is in Korea.
That'd be very nice. I'd be. Oh, is it in Korea? Well, you know. See how far my student budget stretches. So, if you guys. We need to. Technology. Do you guys know anything techy? Any interesting tech facts about yourselves?
Any interesting tech facts? I'm a massive, massive tech head.
Yeah?
I really enjoy technology.
When you're not being a model, then you're just kind of...
Yeah, no, you know, I'm one of the more normal ones.
He wears many different hats.
I wear many different hats. And what is it? I really enjoy playing video games.
Okay. A gamer.
Any particular console for you, Mo?
Any particular console. My favourite, weirdly, is either a Dreamcast, a GameCube, or a PS2.
A Dreamcast.
Wow.
I mean, GameCube and Dreamcast are notoriously the worst two consoles ever to have existed.
What?
No. Well, I
Pokemon GameCube. Colosseum.
Oh, what?
You could stick your Pokemon Sapphire, your Pokemon Yellow into the bottom bit, transfer your Pokemon, level them up on Pokemon Colosseum. You're done.
I feel we found a real gaming nerd inside hiding inside Mo that's willing to come out. Awesome. I mean, we always appreciate some good gaming knowledge on the show. Anything else that's coming up on your show that you guys are going to be chatting about? Any good music?
Yeah. We've got the classic weekly feature, Jelly's feature. Jelly's are one of our feature presenters. She comes in every week with the hottest tracks around the UK at the moment, and she throws them out into the stratosphere for everyone to know. She's going to be a big name to watch in the future.
Wicked, wicked.
Awesome.
And of course, we've got Educating Dan.
Educating Irish Dan.
Yeah.
What's that? That feature section?
Yeah, it's usually at the start of the show, and in fact, he educates us.
About what?
The feature has kind of been flipped. It was supposed to be us educating him about his lack of knowledge of all things UK university. Mm-hmm. And it's changed. Now he comes in and teaches us Gaelic, which we're not very good at all.
No, we are. We just need to put the accent on.
I won.
No, we both won.
No, I was better than you were.
Okay.
Does he speak fluent Gaelic then?
I don't think he was fluent, but he definitely, like, he did better than us.
he did it till A-level, I think.
Yeah, he did say that, yeah. In Ireland, they study it to, well, some schools.
That's pretty cool.
Pretty crazy.
Any of you guys speak any other languages?
No.
Well,
oh.
Spanish.
So he's a model, he's a tech head, and he speaks Spanish.
He's the perfect
package. I'm just going to stop talking,
to please.
Be honest.
Oh, please.
Wasted presenter ladies. Over here.
Come on. None of that.
Anyway, I think that just about wraps things up for the tech show today and the handover, which has been really nice to meet you guys properly.
And you too. Thanks for having
week.
Us.
Yeah,
yeah, we should
we'll
do this
in.
Every week.
We should. Yeah, I think it'd be nice. Yeah.
We'll invade the tech
least.
Show.
Yeah,
I know,
no, please.
Screw it. Let's just have a 2-hour show, the tech beat. The beat
yes.
tech.
The beat tech.
Bring some nibbles, maybe. I'm just, you know,
yeah, maybe bring some stuff
ooh,
in next
yeah.
time.
There's a mince pie there.
We can have a snack rota.
That'd be cool, actually.
Snack rota.
You guys next week?
Excellent. Yeah. See you then.
Yeah. That works for me. really nice to meet you guys and hope the show goes well. And tech show will be back next week. Tweet us at This Is LSR and or get involved in the chat box. That applies to both shows. And yeah, until next week, guys. There's some music now by Juice, Sixth Floor.
See you next week.